Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Podcast. Today we have Facebook news, Winklevoss twins continuing moving forward despite SEC Bitcoin ETF decision, and then we have a very interesting video about crypto utopia in Puerto Rico. And then finally in our main topic, we're discussing Saya, decentralized cloud storage. That's right, it's on the blockchain, and it's very interesting. Thriller Podcast, starting now.
To Thriller with Car Gonzalez, broadcasting from Austin, Texas, via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you. It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Podcast. Today is August 14th, 2018. That's right. It's been a crazy crypto weekend, and a lot of people are bleeding out. No, seriously, it's been a tough one. It's been a tough one this weekend, but you know what? We're going to get through it because that's what we always do. So first up, we got some Facebook news that came out on Friday. That's right. Last Friday, I'm starting to notice crypto Fridays are starting to feel like just news day. And it's always an afterthought. It's kind of too bad because it almost feels like they throw this news out on a Friday trying to get a rally on the weekend. And so far it's been working. Oh, first piece of news, David Marcus, a former vice president of Facebook Messenger, has announced that his 8-month tenure on Coinbase's board is sadly coming to an end. However, this move didn't come without reason, with a Coinbase representative stating that this move was made to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest. Interesting. Now, of course, Through Crypto reported this on Friday. And of course, Business Insider had the very first Facebook representative talking about this. This is what they said. Because of the new group I'm setting up at Facebook around blockchain, I've decided it was appropriate for me to resign from the Coinbase board. I've been thoroughly impressed by the talent and the execution of the Coinbase team. And I wish them, the team, all the success it deserves going forward. Now, of course, on Friday, speculation arose almost immediately saying that Facebook was going to be purchasing Coinbase. We've heard those rumors for months. And then also, it was also revealed much later, this is a second piece of news, that Facebook had held a meeting with Stellar. That's right, the Stellar Foundation, the nonprofit, the team behind XLM. And they said that Facebook has stayed quiet about this occurrence. Many believe that this shows that the $500 billion company may create its own blockchain network. And that just caused a crazy buy for XLM almost immediately. But it was also insider sources say that Facebook and Stellar have discussed the formulation of a partnership to fork the Stellar network, similar to what Ken did. And while the social media giant would get its own chain to build whatever it may please, they would be using the Stellar-based technology as a jumping-off point. Now, almost immediately, this was taken down. So Business Insider is a pretty big publication when it comes to financial news. It doesn't get any bigger than Business Insider. So almost immediately, like I want to say like maybe a few hours later on Friday, of course, we had the Facebook and Stellar news, and then we had the whole, you know, David Marcus stepping down from the Coinbase board. And then almost immediately later that for late Friday, Facebook denied such a relationship. So check this out. They told Cheddar. Of course, you guys know the Cheddar app. They're basically trying to be CNBC for the millennial generation. And they said, and I quote, "We are not engaged in any discussions with Stellar, and we are not considering building on their technology." And of course, it was leaked by Business Insider. They broke the news. And then Cheddar claimed that they talked to Facebook and no such news existed. So this all happened on Friday. So it was kind of like, okay, David Marcus steps down as Coinbase board member. And then boom, Stellar and Stellar and Facebook are, you know, joining forces potentially. And then boom, a couple hours later, no, they're not. So that's a lot to take in. If we kind of parse it, and my kind of whole approach was, it would make sense for Facebook to start, you know, if, because obviously, I mean, I don't know if this is what I always thought. You can go back and listen to what we had covered. I want to say probably around the time Facebook got into the whole Congress debacle, where Mark Zuckerberg had to go in front of Congress and explain himself. And I remember saying at the time, we even did a whole show on it. If you go back and listen to season one, where I said Facebook is going to create their own blockchain. And I went into a whole episode where I talked about, you know, the what ifs and what this could potentially turn into. And of course, I mentioned during that show that they were trying to be like WeChat. Of course, WeChat is, you know, has a billion users inside of China. And they use it primarily for mobile payments as well. And Facebook potentially could be building that. And if you were going to build something like that, why would you not want to use the Stellar network? Just because there's on and off ramps for all these different type of tokens. And then you also have probably the best remittance payment system out there, in my opinion. We've looked at it. but what even is, you know, we all know Facebook loves control and they want everything for themselves. And even if they did create a blockchain, it wouldn't necessarily be decentralized. It would be very much a private centralized blockchain, right? So a fork makes more sense, and similar to what Ken is doing, Ken Coin. And if they build this, I think it'll be big. A lot of people use Facebook, not myself, but a lot of people out there use Facebook. A lot of people, regular, you know, people just use Facebook and love it and go to the Instant Messenger. And they already kind of have a payment system that you can put right now. But I think probably one of the biggest tells of them actually building on this would be because of Messenger. You could send payments and do them very cheaply. Because right now you can send $16, $20 to somebody on Facebook, but there's a cost that occurs for Facebook when sending money. And that's one of the biggest things that's kind of holding that whole payment system back, is because you're paying 1% to 3% interest on using their platform, and it kind of sucks. And what sucks about it too as well is, like, say you want to trade it, you know, say you want to trade it to on the fly to like yen or to a ruble or to anything, any type of currency, you wouldn't be able to. And I think if they were to create something like this, it would make a lot of sense, because you could switch over to from Bitcoin to Litecoin to fiat, just go anywhere. And that would make more sense, just depending on where you're paying for. It would truly become a global currency, that Facebook platform, or a global payment system of sorts. And it's interesting to see that they were, I mean, they say they're not talking to Stellar, but I don't understand why Business Insider would first break the news. It almost seems like they got it right the first time, but didn't want to release that information just yet. Like, maybe that was going to come later on. And that's probably why they denied it, just because they're still looking at it. And of course, Stellar Lumens, the foundation, Stellar, they didn't mention anything about this. They're very professional in that aspect. Like, they don't talk about rumors. They don't talk about anything with other companies that they're underneath the tables that hasn't been quite disclosed yet. They usually wait till everything's out in the open and then they discuss it. They've never been a blockchain nonprofit that would like jump and kind of hedge the rumor as a sorts. Yeah, I tend to believe Business Insider. I think Facebook probably did meet with somebody from the Stellar Foundation, and they probably did have talks. I just don't think that they wanted that public knowledge just yet. But of course, they denied it, so that's that. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. I thought that was very interesting. You guys know how much I love the Stellar Foundation and what they're building, so I wanted to mention that. Next up, we have stablecoin Tether. So they just issued out another batch of 50 million USDT tokens. And these tokens are now worth 50 million. And according to Block Explorer, they just released 300 million. And that was back in April, I believe. And this new version is here in August 11th. So, of course, what happened? And following that, Bitcoin went up to $6,357. Now it's back down, of course. But a lot of people are kind of skeptical on Tether. We did a whole show on it. Go back and listen to it. It's fairly interesting, I think. One of the big caveats I kind of wanted you guys to take from that whole episode was just be careful. Me personally, I'm not using any Tether. I just don't believe it. I'd rather hold Bitcoin just because I find that more valuable. Until they kind of get the whole transparency thing fixed for Tether, I would kind of hold off. But again, do your own research, find out more about it. I just want to make sure that this gets reported because everybody needs to know what's going on with that. I think Tether is probably going to be one of the most interesting aspects of this whole bear market cycle that we're in. So whenever they release something, it's good to present that to you guys. Next up, we have Winklevoss Twins. So the Winklevoss Twins have said that they're going to move forward despite the SEC's Bitcoin ETF decision. And they have said that Wall Street is taking cryptocurrencies extremely serious. However, the vast majority of Wall Street firms are still not participating in the cryptocurrency market, which remains primarily a retail-driven market. They said this will change over time, but it will take some time. And following the denial of the Winklevoss Gemini Bitcoin ETF, the market's tanked. And a lot of people familiar with the whole situation has said this is due to a variety of factors, including the fact that it is based its pricing on Gemini's prices rather than those of aggregated markets. And of course, the CBOE VanEck Solid X ETF got denied, or actually got delayed till September 30th. I'm sorry. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I personally, in my opinion, don't think that's going to happen this year. That's just me. And it was even more interesting. And this is something I touched on Friday, talking about the whole ETF decision and why I don't think Bitcoin was built on, a lot of this stuff was built on, you know, building out a global currency, building out a sustainable market for every type of country out there that's unable to, you know, stand on its own legs regarding its fiat. And right now you look at something like Turkey being attacked on economic warfare of sorts from our President Trump. And you can kind of see where, you know, Bitcoin has a place for them. And it could be used as a place to dominate worldwide as a currency. And I think Nick Szabo has it right. And he said, I, for one, am not lobbying for an ETF or for Wall Street managed money in general. It might cause more problems than it's worth. The recent sell-off by dumb money has or soon will deprecate many opinionated know-nothings in this space. We don't need new ones to take their place. And this is a response to the blockchain advisor saying, I'm losing respect for the Bitcoin community. Everybody wants an ETF, but without the back office, hard to borrow, fail to deliver consequences. It's like they want physical stock certificates on Bitcoin. SMH. Shaking my head. And one part of me feels like that, you know, and I touched on it on Friday's episode or on Thursday's episode, saying that it was kind of bittersweet that a lot of people want this. And, me personally, I don't think it's going to happen this year. I really don't. I'm really looking forward to Bitcoin. This is why I say Bitcoin, by Bitcoin save the world. It's because I feel like it can save the world. And helping out Turkey right now, instead of purchasing their own fiat, instead of purchasing that, they could purchase Bitcoin and be better off, in my opinion, especially at these bottom barrel prices. But who knows where this is all going to go. I do know that this year is probably not going to happen. ETF is probably not going to happen. It's probably going to get denied September 30th, more than likely. And we're going to continue to see this bear market. And maybe something like that will get launched next year around their first quarter. But then again, no one knows this stuff. No one knows. No one absolutely knows. This is just from me looking at everything and kind of seeing the whole plane. Most of the time, I would say I'm usually wrong. Sometimes I'm right. But at this point, none of that really matters because everybody's in the same tank hole together. And I think that's it for news. There's a lot of stuff going on. And right now, the markets are paying for it. It's all in the red. People are depressed. People are scrambling. There's people hurting out there. I know. There's a lot of people jumping ship too as well. It's crazy. There's a lot of people jumping ship. And you know, it's funny that our podcast numbers have gone up. Listenership has gone up. But the cryptocurrency market has gone down. So that tells me that people are looking for any kind of information in regards to what's going to happen. Well, stay tuned. Interesting video of the day coming up next.
Thriller Podcast. interesting crypto video of the day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, today we have a very interesting video. It's coming from The Guardian, and it's talking about Puerto Rico and the state of turmoil that they're in right now. And there's a couple of crypto utopians out there that are trying to rebuild Puerto Rico by themselves with the help of the government and the people out there. But it's starting to become a little mixed bag, and this can happen when you're rebuilding areas. Brock Pierce is a blockchain entrepreneur. He has a net worth of $700 million to $1 billion. I'm sure he made that on the back of Bitcoin and Ethereum. But honestly, he's trying to do his best to help out Puerto Rico. And some people are viewing it as kind of a way to buy them out. And it's not coming out very well. So take a listen.
The major cities in the world are all begging us and offering us massive incentives to move there because they want the new, probably most important technology being developed in the world. They want it to be present in their cities because the future of their cities depend on it.
For the people of Puerto Rico, that sounds a lot as the same colonialism that we lived 100 years ago.
What we're doing here is tackling global initiatives right here in Puerto Rico.
When there's a lot of hubris and a lot of excitement over the next thing that's going to save the world, you can end up burning a lot of things along the way.
So I guess we can get into whatever questions you want now.
Okay.
This seems like as good a place as any. Right now, Puerto Rico doesn't have its basic needs met. There's still a substantial amount of, a substantial part of the island without electricity. Not all of the island has clean drinking water. There's still food needs. Access to capital is the thing that we have in abundance. I mean, the Puerto Rican people are able to do this on their own, but that doesn't mean help's a bad thing. When we're young, sometimes we want to do it all on our own, but as we get a little older, we realize that's not a good strategy. When there's help available, receive it, especially if you need it.
The reason that people are moving down to Puerto Rico is, in a way, it's sort of the perfect storm that happened. No pun intended with the storm that just happened, but because their economy was already decimated, and then you took the storm, which wiped out the economy even more and infrastructure, now you really have a situation where all options again are on the table. We can set up independent remote locations where we can bring in sustainable energy. Drones will be able to fly in, power up. We will create a giant hive.
The financial realm was stuck in the disco age for far too long, and cryptocurrency and blockchain technology are here to change that in many different ways. I'm here to educate that anything is possible through trading cryptocurrency. I'm here to not give the government everything I make. I'm here to give the people that and help rebuild what I feel will be the tech center point of the world one day.
We are a very well-connected group globally, right? We're both marketers, we're technologists, we're visionaries.
They're announcing that they're looking to do their own private cities here in Puerto Rico. And for the people of Puerto Rico, that sounds a lot as the same colonialism that we lived 100 years ago when the United States came in, 400 years ago or 500 years ago when Spain came in. That's what the people of Puerto Rico are worried about. They're worried that in a time of vulnerability, they're worried that in a time where we economically, fiscally, and politically are in a very, very weak position, these individuals are going to come in and they're going to rebuild Puerto Rico according to their version of what Puerto Rico should be and not necessarily what Puerto Ricans want Puerto Rico to be.
I think the obstacles that we could potentially face are people not trusting us, but I do believe that that will change, and the only way that can change is by executing and actually delivering on promises that we make.
I don't think they intended to say it in such an emotionally insensitive way, but the perfect storm to build something from the bottom up. And it's the perfect storm for someone who already has privilege and wealth and can go in and create a new system. Let's come in and have this perfect life with so little understanding of how that's actually becoming colonizers again in a different way. The argument that has been used to justify the relationship with America is that here we have this nation that can help us when the time comes. Well, guess what? The time came. And that didn't happen.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the things that I hate the most about our president is that his lack of empathy for people in this country and for people that we're supposed to be taking care of and we're not. That is me, something I have to battle internally. I do understand where Brock's coming from. I think his heart is in a good place. I think just a little bit more empathy is probably needed. And I think his team could probably help him. I just think that people that he's speaking with are a little bit scared right now, and they should be. Basically, all they want is just food and shelter and clean water for their kids. And I think he can help provide that. He just needs to get started in that direction first.
It is time. Only crypto, coins, trade, predictions ahead. It is what you spend all day wondering, isn't it? Is crypto green? Only on Coin Talk.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Coin Talk. But before we get into that, I've got to mention a couple things. Just want to thank everybody for participating in our Telegram. I feel like our Telegram's getting bigger and bigger, and it's starting to feel more and more like a community. I remember during the height of the whole crypto bull run last year, it was just like a swash of many people just chiming in every few seconds, and it was just tough to keep track of everything. And now that it's kind of crypto winter, there's bigger talks happening in there, and I love going in there and kind of lurking and see what everybody's talking about. I find it very interesting. So thank you to everybody that's participating in our Telegram and keeping it sustainable. It's pretty awesome. And then also want to thank Javon Thomas. He came on yesterday's first episode for the second season of Thriller Convo. If you guys didn't get a chance to check out that episode, go ahead and check it out. I had trouble with my mic during that episode, and it kind of sucks because I felt like it was a really good episode minus the audio issues. And I really liked having him on. It was nice to hear from an actual journalist in the crypto space and get an idea of where everything's going and how he sees everything in regards to staying unbiased and stuff like that. Definitely learned and picked up a couple things for sure. So we'll look to implement that here through a podcast. And then finally, I want to mention, don't forget about our Google Hangout happening this Friday. So this Friday, we're going to do a Google Hangout. If you guys want to come and participate, you can. Just join our Telegram. I'll put a link in there on Friday. We're going to be looking to rolling it out at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you guys are, you know, hanging around the internet around that time and you want to come talk to Carr, talk to the rest of the Thriller Podcast community, go ahead, join our Telegram, and get ready for that link. I'm going to drop it around 7:30-ish around there to get everybody joined in. And I think there can only be 10 people. Last time, there's quite a few people that joined, and it's going to be cool to see what we're going to be talking about this time. But I'm sure it's going to be all over the place like it usually is. So if you guys want to have fun, talk crypto, and just hang out, join our Telegram, and look for that to drop on Friday before 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I think that's it. Let's go ahead and get into Coin Talk. There's a lot to discuss, a couple things I want to mention, and I have a feeling something's coming, and I want to explain this to you. I don't want to feel like I'm shilling or anything, but just some stuff that I'm looking at. So let's do it. Let's play our disclaimer. Let's get that out of the way, because we've got to play the disclaimer. If we don't play the disclaimer, then potentially we could get sued and we could end up like Ripple. Multiple lawsuits just happening. Anyways, let's roll the disclaimer. Oh, yeah.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
All right, so it's time for Coin Talk. And right now, the whole market is currently at $193 billion. That's right. You got Bitcoin at $6,065. And got Ethereum at $267. It's interesting because no one saw Ethereum going this low. Not even myself. I didn't think Ethereum was ever going to get that low. I thought for sure $400 around there. But to be at $267 again is pretty astounding. I'd have to say that surprised me. There's probably one of the biggest shockers this year for me. It's not that the price went down. I think that was kind of expected. I was hoping for the best, but, you know, kind of expected. But I think Ethereum getting to 267, people are saying that it's going to get to 220. That's just wow. That's just kind of like, whoa. Ethereum is having a massive sell-off right now. And it kind of sucks because I think it's a really good platform. And I think if we see a Bitcoin ETF next year, it's very likely we're going to see an Ethereum ETF probably the following year. And yeah, so it's just really interesting to see it at 267 right now. I'm just seriously debating. picking up some Ethereum. If it gets to 220, I already been picking it up on the way down. But if it gets to 220, I feel like I'm going to have to pick up some more Ethereum. But that's me personally. Don't let me, you know, you should probably stay away as far as you can from Ethereum right now. But me personally, I see it as a really good price increase if it gets back up to where it was at. And I think if an Ethereum ETF happens in the next, you know, year and a half to 2 years, I think that's a considerable increase, me personally. Yeah, it's really interesting to see it 267. I did not think that was going to happen. That's probably shocking. It's just shocking to me, seeing it that low. Another thing I wanted to mention was the whole total coin market cap. If we look here, last year we were at around 135 last year around this time. 135 billion. We're currently at today 193 billion. So really not that far off. Really not that far off at all. I think I was telling a lot of y'all since the summer that once August comes around, we're going to kind of get a better idea of what's going to happen. And that's the truth. We kind of saw that, you know, Ethereum Classic didn't hold up to everybody's potential. We knew there was going to be a sell-off, of course, once it got on Coinbase. I wouldn't be expecting a increase in price for Ethereum Classic once it gets on Coinbase Blue, the mainstream consumer app. I don't think that's gonna happen. I think a lot of retail investors have already jumped off, and Ethereum is a pretty good sign of that happening because a lot of people that were retail investors bought a lot of ERC-20 tokens. And they got burned by them. They got burned by them big time. And that's what you're seeing right now. A lot of people cashing those in. And a lot of ERC-20 blockchain projects that build everything on that are cashing those in as well, too. Ethereum, very surprised you see it at this low. It's kind of sad. It's very sad, honestly. And then also what's interesting is we see Stellar. So Stellar just keeps rising. And it's probably due to the Coinbase addition that's going to be happening probably in September. But I should say, because it's not going to happen for sure. But, you know, it's very likely that Stellar will be one of the new additions on Coinbase. It's yet to come out with any kind of evidence or any kind of press release or anything like that. There's no behind the scenes stuff that I know about. The only thing that's kind of the tell in the whole thing is if you look at the green candles for Stellar, it just continually rises in market cap and it continually stays above water for the most part. And that's probably a sign that it's probably going to be the next one going to be showing up on Coinbase. Just because if you look at the other ones that were mentioned, BAT, 0x, ADA, which is Cardano, and Zcash, you can kind of tell that everything else is in the negative, in the red. And it's probably one of those things where if you're smart right now, you're probably just buying 0x, ADA, Stellar, and BAT, and Zcash, and Bitcoin. Just because those are you're probably going to be able to flip those here for a profit. And a lot of people recognize that. And the fact that Stellar is climbing, tells me that maybe some people in the know knows what's going on there next, and maybe a decision is being reached here soon. So it just recently passed EOS for number 5 in the coin market kind of rankings. I've never been one to participate in the whole coin market cap rankings. I think it's cool whenever, you know, Stellar, of course, surpassed Litecoin and surpassed EOS yesterday. I think it's cool. I think it's great. It's a good achievement, but it's nothing to hang your hat on. I think putting your head down and just continually working is probably the best thing you can do. And that's what they continue to do. It's probably why a lot of these companies out there that are big companies are getting involved with Stellar, with the Stellar Foundation, is because they realize that out of the top 10, they are the hardest working, I wouldn't say the hardest working, but one of the hardest working blockchain projects out there, in my opinion. And people are recognizing that. And that's why I said whenever you're trying to achieve something, whenever you're trying to be greater than what you are, you just got to keep your head down and keep working. And I think if more people subscribe to that kind of ideal, I think a lot of people would be better off. And sometimes there's, you know, situations that get in the way, but for the most part, you can always go back to your work. And I feel like you got to be passionate about the stuff that you're doing. And if you're not, it's probably going to lead to misery, unfortunately. But Stellar, you can tell there's a lot of passionate people behind that project. I'm super bullish on Stellar. We've been super bullish on them for almost a year now, from the early days of their podcast, you know, back when it was a penny, 2 pennies. I was saying, buy Stellar. And now it's at 22 cents. It got up to 35 cents. I think we're going to see, I personally think we're probably going to see their Stellar or 0x show up on Coinbase. This is all, I don't know anything yet, but I think we're going to see Stellar or 0x show up on Coinbase first. I think it is probably likely going to get approved. I think it just makes more sense. Just because, you know, these institutional investors are going to want kind of like a smorgasbord of different cryptos, right? So they're going to want Bitcoin. They're going to want Ethereum. They're going to want Ethereum Classic. They're going to want Bitcoin Cash. And they're probably going to want Stellar or 0x. And myself right now, I'm just constantly loading up. I just bought some more Cardano this past weekend. I'm going to buy some more XLM this week. Going to look to buy some more 0x, hopefully here in the next couple of weeks. And Bitcoin, of course. And that's likely where my money is going to go here in the short term. Just because there's money to be made when these hit Coinbase. Like we said, Ethereum Classic was at 12, 13 bucks. Before the whole announcement, and as soon as that happened, it spiked up to $20 and then sold off. And I think we might see that again here. So Stellar, if 0x, for example, I think 0x has the best chance going first. 0x is at 66 cents. Man, I bought it like at $1. That sucks. Anyways, if 0x gets on there first, you could likely see it, you know, climb up pretty fast. It's going to climb up pretty fast. It's going to get well above $1, that's for sure. And it's probably going to get, you know, maybe 2, maybe 3. Who knows? Who knows where it's going to get? I don't really have a price, you know, point where I think it could hit. But it's definitely going to get well above $1. And when it gets finally released on Coinbase, of course, that's when you're going to see the sell-off. And then you're going to be able to make all that extra money if you buy it in at 66 cents right now. So it's kind of a no-brainer, in my opinion, to hold those 5 coins right now, just while Coinbase kind of goes through their whole process and guideline approach to adding new tokens on their platform. So it really makes no sense as to why you're not buying those particular coins, in my opinion. But then again, that's just me. And what do I know? But that's what I'm doing. That's my strategy. My strategy is to buy more 0x. My strategy is to buy more Cardano. My strategy is to buy more Bitcoin, to buy more Stellar, to buy more BAT. I have enough Zcash, I think, but not enough to make a big impact. And I feel like with those 4 particular tokens, you have the biggest impact to make on them here short term. And this year, there's really not going to be time. There's not going to be any opportunity to make any money here unless you're thoroughly in the know or see something coming that no one else sees or privy to some piece of knowledge. And I do my best to share all that with y'all. And right now I'm trying to share my strategy. And this is my strategy, is to pick up Stellar, pick up 0x, pick up Cardano, pick up BAT, and then wait for a Coinbase announcement. And once that happens, you're going to see a nice little size chunk of change come into the space. They're going to buy either Stellar, they're going to buy 0x, and it's going to, you know, double at least or triple from what you're buying at right now. And that's just a guarantee. That's as good of a guarantee you're going to get in crypto right now, unfortunately. And that's not a bad thing because it lets you know how this space thinks. And it's just the truth. And time again, this is just going to happen. And then next month we might see, you know, ADA get added. And of course, ADA right now is currently at 9 cents. And of course, once it gets added, it probably could triple. Who knows where it could get at? And then you're going to see a sell-off. Same thing. It's going to go back down to a stable amount just because it's a bear market. So I want to kind of reiterate that. Make sure that if you're trying to make some money here in the short term and you're looking to see how you can make some money, this is a guaranteed way of making some money, easy money. It doesn't take any thought process behind it. You don't even have to time it very well. You just got to make sure that you get in before the announcement. And right now is a perfect time to get in. And of course, none of this is financial advice. Go out there and do your own research. This is just what I'm doing. This is where I see it happening, how I see it being played out. And I've been right about this many times before through their podcast. So this is nothing new or fascinating, but a lot of newbies out there might be like, oh crap, I didn't know that. Well, now you know. But anyways, I feel like even if you were just to buy Stellar or Cardano or 0x, those are such great projects that even holding those over time, you're going to see a nice size increase. So believe me on that. Because the actual project, and one of the main reasons why Coinbase is very selective in their process, they want to make sure that these companies, these blockchain projects, are actually building out an actual real use case, right? Because a lot of people that they're trying to get on board with these tokens are not wanting to invest in crap. So that's probably why you don't see a lot of other ones on there, unfortunately. So I think with that, that's pretty much covering all of CoinTalk. I think Monero was another one that I was surprised to see at $85, but we might see it go a little lower. Litecoin's back at $51, which is kind of surprising. And I think that was about it. I didn't see anything else that kind of surprised me. Bat token's currently at 17 cents. That's a good buy right there. I didn't see anything else out of the ordinary that kind of jumped up. Yeah, I think that's it. A lot of stuff is just bleeding out because people are jumping out. People invested, you know, however many thousands, and they just don't want to stick around. And honestly, this is where you make the most money, in my opinion. I've seen it, you know, in 2015, the same thing. A lot of stuff was just very much bare, and there's nothing for the taking, and you could have went in and bought a lot of these tokens at very low prices, Litecoin being at $1, Ethereum being at $3, $10, and could have made a lot of money during this bull run last year if you would have just held from 2015 to 2017. But people don't see it that way. People don't see the long game. I definitely do, just because I've witnessed it before. So that's why I'm like really bullish right now on picking up some more Stellar, picking up some more Cardano, picking up some more 0x, picking up some more Bitcoin. And honestly, I think this might be the last time, and I don't want to say the last time, but I think this might be one of the last few times that we ever see Bitcoin, you know, really this low. And I think here, for sure, this time next year, maybe the year after that, I don't think we're going to be able to afford our own Bitcoin at a price. And I think that there's only going to be 21 million made, and you're not going to be able to only, and we already know 4 million are lost, right? So if there's only ever going to be, you know, 18 million or 17 million in existence, you know, potentially owning one Bitcoin, you might not ever get to own one. That's a big thing if you think about it. So just remember that. Make sure you get yourself at least one Bitcoin. That way you can hold long term. I'm talking more than 5 years. And potentially that could be at a couple hundred thousand. Imagine that. Imagine a couple hundred thousand dollar Bitcoin. That's crazy. Who knows if it ever get that high? But if it did, you would be one of the few people that got Bitcoin at $6,000. It's crazy. And a lot of people were like, no way, Car. That's just telling you. A lot of people thought the same thing, too. I could have bought several Bitcoin when it was back at $200. And I did. I didn't buy several, but I bought a couple. And it's kind of one of those things where, like, looking at it now, I'm like, damn, I could have bought a hell of a lot more. Because I never really thought it was going to get that high. I knew it would get to 1,000, but I never thought, hey, you can get to 20,000. So it's one of those things where you could, if you bought one at 6,000, or if you even got close to one, half of one, you know, at $6,000, $5,000, whatever it gets to, you could see a huge profit over time, which is nuts, which is nuts. Anyways, with that, let's get into our main topic today. We're discussing Saya. That's right. This whole time I'm pronouncing it Sia. It's actually called Saya. And they're trying to build a decentralized cloud storage. And I think it's pretty interesting. So let's go ahead and dive into it in our main topic starting now. I will say right now, none of this is financial advice. If you're going to invest in Saya, do so at your own risk, not mine. And above all else, do your own research. Don't trust me. Don't trust me. I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. All right, I think that's it. I guess now we can begin. Saya combines a peer-to-peer network with blockchain technology to create the world's first decentralized storage platform. Files are divided prior to upload. Each file is divided into 30 segments before uploading and targeted for distribution across hosts all over the world. Each file segment is encrypted. Before leaving a renter's computer, each file segment is encrypted. This ensures that hosts only store encrypted segments of user data. And not only that, Saya blockchain renters form file contracts with hosts. These contracts set pricing, uptime commitments, and other aspects of relationship between the renters and the hosts. And you all pay with this unique cryptocurrency built on the Saya blockchain called Saya Coin. Micropayments flow between renters and hosts using a technology called payment channels, which is similar to Bitcoin's Lightning Network. First, we're going to have David Vorick, of PsiCoin explain exactly what it is they are building and why they want to be the first decentralized cloud storage platform. Check this out.
Yeah, what I've been working on for the past 2 years is a decentralized cloud storage platform. But before I get into that, I just want to give some background about myself. So I've been with Bitcoin since about 2011. I've been in the research community and on the Wizards channel since about 2013. And then in 2014, a friend of mine and myself, we founded a company to build this decentralized storage protocol. And the team has since grown to 3 people. So Saya is the name of our decentralized storage protocol. It's we're trying to emulate Amazon S3, which is a centralized cloud storage platform. You give your data to Amazon and then they hold it for you. And we're trying to do the same thing where data is accessible immediately. So it's low latency, high throughput. And we've had a functioning prototype since June 2015. So here's a screenshot of our wallet, and then so you're a host, you can offer your storage to the network. So here's a screenshot of that interface. I've got 20 gigabytes on this node. I took it last night. And then here's the renter. So it's some music I uploaded. That's my music. So cool. So we're going to rewind to the modern cloud storage. So normally the data is owned by one company, such as Amazon or Microsoft. It's usually unencrypted and unauthenticated. You just give them the raw data and they hold on to it. And so it doesn't need to be, but usually it is unencrypted. And then often your data is sitting in one legal jurisdiction, so even if it's replicated inside of the data center, it's still just in one geographic location. Then Amazon is a profit-making company. Well, maybe not, but Microsoft is a profit-making company. And sometimes the profit motives may not align with your personal needs. And then also, I think in general, the cloud storage space has very inflated prices. I don't think the prices make sense when you look at how much hard drives cost and how much, 3x replication should cost. The numbers are really big to get it from Amazon or Microsoft. So we want to sort of decentralize that. To me, one of the core advantages of decentralization is that the person who owns the thing, controls it. And so, in Bitcoin, when I have, 10 Bitcoins and they've been in my wallet for a year, so it's 50,000 confirmations, I feel confident that no one can steal those. To steal those, you would either need my private key or you would need to reorg 50,000 blocks to go back and undo the transaction and then rebury it. So that's very powerful to me. And so we want to do something similar with data, where I know that the data is mine and its destiny is mine to control. We want to eliminate the trust. We're, right now we trust Amazon with our data, and I don't think we need to. So you also want to spread out the power in the ecosystem. So unlike Bitcoin, with data, you have some core limitations. The whole point of the cloud is that I give the data to someone else, and then at some point I ask for it, and they give it back to me. And as soon as it's leaving my hands, there's nothing I can do to control it. So if Amazon or whoever has the data decides to unplug the drive or destroy the drive, or hold the data hostage, there's no amount of cryptography that's going to save you from that situation. They can make that call. And that's just part of having data in the cloud, is you need to know that the people who have it can unplug at any time. So you can't attain perfect trustlessness. And then the other thing that they can do is once they have the data, they can share it without your permission. And if it's encrypted, this may not be very dangerous. But the fact remains that once someone has the data, you have no control over who they give it to. So those are two things that you just can't fix. But I think that we can do better than Amazon, even if we can't get to this perfect situation where you have perfect control over your data. I think we can do a lot better than we're doing today. So with Saya, your data goes to many hosts. It can cover many legal jurisdictions. Everything is encrypted and hashed or authenticated by default, so a much cleaner ecosystem. And we have these file contracts that sort of align the incentives with the consumer. We make sure that, the host profit model is oriented around protecting the uploader's data. And then we also create this open marketplace where people who can provide services for cheaper get more profit. And so just like with Bitcoin mining, we hope to create this very aggressive race to the bottom that consistently keeps up with new technological trends and technological improvements. So that's sort of what we're aiming at with our platform.
So one of the things that, of course, a regular enterprise company is going to ask is, how do I know this is secure? How do I know that my data is actually being stored somewhere and no one has access to it but me or my company? And that's a common question I'm sure a regular enterprise company might have. And of course, David has responded to those questions in the past. And here recently at BlockCon, he actually had a panel discussion on those very same questions. Check this out.
Yeah, so on Amazon today, if you were to go to and get the bulk rates, I believe you can get 1 terabyte costs $21 per month. And then to download that terabyte at the bulk rate, I believe it costs you $50. This can be compared to the Saia network, where today our prices are about 40 cents per terabyte per month to store. And then to download, it's like 20 cents.
So you're saying $21 per month to down to 40 cents?
That's the market price today on the Saia network, yes.
Wow. Is Amazon scared?
I don't think they know who we are.
Wow.
We're staying underground.
They'll know eventually.
So by the way, how's the traction rates when enterprise or when, let's say, you know, just regular startups look at this pricing scenario and they look like, wow, $21 and down to like pennies. What's the traction rate? Do they instantly jump on it and say like, hey, let me just use this? Or do they have like, hey, is there a catch here? Like what's your like sales cycle look like there?
Yeah, so when we approach what I would call like a more traditional company, so someone who's not like indoctrinated into the blockchain mindset,
right?
There's usually a lot of skepticism, especially in data storage. Your data is, as a company, it's one of your like most sensitive, most critical things that you have, and so companies are very slow to move to a new platform, and especially with, you know, only 2 years of deployment. A lot of companies, you know, there's a reason that there are only three names, and it's because companies really fall back on the brand and the trust that has been built up. We're here to change that.
Got it.
So actually, it's usually not about blockchain at all. It's all about who's storing the data, what's the replication, like
Got
how
it.
Do I know they're not going to disappear tomorrow? And the blockchain like just sits in the back.
Got it.
So this is very much early days, and I think one thing that people need to realize is that over time there's going to be more decentralized projects that are being built, and in order to become fully decentralized, they're going to require some type of storage, some type of decentralized storage. What's the point of having a decentralized project if 100% up the stack you're not completely decentralized? And I think that's where Saia will definitely reap a lot of its customers from. Of course, you're going to have Amazon. Of course, you're going to have Microsoft and a lot of these companies that are having cloud storage and people are still going to use them. But whenever you want to create an entirely decentralized ecosystem, you're going to have to use Saia or some other decentralized cloud storage company for that matter. One of the interesting things about Saia Coin is how they were able to build out this whole decentralized ecosystem. If you take a listen to David, he kind of explains exactly how this works, and it's all revolved around contracts. Check this out.
And the core like cryptographic tool that we use to achieve this is called the file contract. So when it's me and a host and I'm giving my file to a host, I'm going to create a file contract and I'm going to put money in that's for the host, and the host is going to put money in that's sort of like a promise that he'll keep the data. Then we're going to take the file contract and put it on the blockchain. And then after some period of time, say like 6 months, the blockchain is going to trigger and say, okay, host, prove to me that you still have the data. And the host needs to provide a proof that it has the data. And then if it provides the proof, it gets paid. And if a certain period of time, like, you know, say 3 days goes by and the host doesn't provide the proof, then the money is lost. It's either returned to me or it goes to the void. But regardless, the host is not getting paid. Let's see what the... Okay, so how the storage proof works. So the file is broken up into 64-byte segments, and then those 64-byte segments are hashed into a Merkle tree. And I have a picture on the next slide. And then what the blockchain does is it picks one of those segments at random and says, host, prove that you have this segment. So this kind of looks like this. At the bottom layer, we have the actual raw data. The blockchain is going to choose Y3, which is the bottom red circle, and then the host is going to provide Y3 and all the hashes, one hash at each layer, and you have this Merkle proof. And so the host provides the data, and then proves that it's in the Merkle root, which the Merkle root is in the file contract. So the host has proven storage for one random segment. It's just 64 bytes, but the host has no way to predict which segment. We seed the random number using the block ID of the block before the contract expires. So right at the beginning, if the host is trying to cheat, it's got no way to predict. And so if the host is only storing half the file, the host has a 50% chance of being able to cheat and being able to submit a proof successfully. But because the host put in money, like it's not just me who put in money, the host also put in money, which means if the host fails, not only does he lose my revenue, but the host will also lose the collateral. And so if the collateral is significantly larger than the potential revenue, cheating has a very high negative expected value. And so there's no economic reason for a host to try and cheat. So that's how we align the incentives in our network, and we get hosts to hold on to the data. Yeah, so IPFS, I think, is completely different, or not completely different, but their goals are different. So we want to create incentives for hosts to keep your data. IPFS, I think, is looking more to like rewrite HTTP. And so you can, on IPFS, you can find files by their hashes, and you can find people's work by their public key, but just like the internet, you can find someone's website by going to the URL, but that person has to be running a server for you to reasonably be able to get it. And someone might have a mirror, and so it's the same in IPFS. If you go to a person's file and their server is offline, like you might get lucky if someone's running a mirror, but there's no guarantee that file is going to be there. Whereas on our network, we try and set it up so that there's financial reasons for people to stay there and keep serving the file. So I think that's one of the big differences. And then Filecoin is a project that hasn't seen much attention in like a year. So I think I'm just going to brush that off to the side until it's more active.
So he touched on two very important things there, Filecoin, which is another competitor in the space, and of course, IPFS. And honestly, the latter is probably a whole nother main topic on its own. But like you said, it's basically trying to be the web of tomorrow. And we could go on and on about it, but just give you a very, you know, simple broad stroke on what it is. HTTP downloads a file from a single computer at a time, as you know, when you're visiting websites. Instead of getting pieces from multiple computers simultaneously, with video delivery, peer-to-peer approach could save 60% in bandwidth costs. IPFS makes it possible to distribute high volumes of data with high efficiency and zero duplication, means savings in storage. So you can tell that it's trying to be two different things there. I did want to mention the community, and that's probably one of the biggest things about Saya is their whole community and what they're doing. I'm going to put links in the show notes, but if you go to their Reddit and to Saya Mining, you will see tons of stuff building with Raspberry Pis and all sorts of cool gadgets and ideas of what's to come. Another thing I want to mention too as well is heading over to our Telegram. Matthew is a big believer in Saya Coin, and he's a big believer in actually mining this stuff. And it's pretty cool. Some of the pictures and stuff that he's shown us has gotten me interested as well, and has gotten a lot of people on our Telegram interested as well too. So if you have any questions on that, head over to our Telegram, talk to Matthew. He's definitely the guy to talk to about that kind of stuff. And with that, let's get on to the end of the show.
Gonna come up, roll us some dope. Oh yeah, gon' sip it slow. White styrofoam, you know us. Bands we could blow, cash overload, it's nothing. Girl, we could go anywhere you want. Oh yeah, girl, gon' come up, roll us some dope. Oh yeah, gon' sip it slow. White styrofoam, you know us. Bands we could blow, cash overload, it's nothing. Girl, we could go anywhere you want. Oh yeah, baby, I'm a flush, on my honor rush. Oh yeah. Big backyard, four car garage, it's nothing. Bad little bitch in a foreign car. Oh yeah, I hop about the bed, put my jewelry on. Oh yeah, I've been laying low out in Tokyo. Oh yeah, gorillas on my coat, babes is for the low, it's nothing. I mix it with Supreme, rolling purple weed. Oh yeah, I pull up in that Jeep, smoking gasoline. Oh yeah, it's Fendi on my belt, I'm blessed it had occurred that bitch. Lil shawty took a L when she said she ain't heard my shit. Yeah, I steps up to the mic, you know I got to murder it. Rollin' cigarillos, smell like marijuana in my whip, yeah. Girl, gon' come up, roll us some dope, oh yeah. Gon' sip it slow, white styrofoam, you know us. Bands we could blow, cash overload, it's nothing. Girl, we could go anywhere you want, oh yeah. Girl, gon' come up, roll us some dope, oh yeah. Gon' sip it slow, white styrofoam, you know us. Bands we could blow, cash overload, it's nothing. Girl, we could go anywhere you want, oh yeah. Baby, I'm a flush, on my honor rush, oh yeah. Big backyard, four car garage, it's nothing. Bad little bitch in a foreign car, oh yeah. I hop about the bed, put my jewelry on, oh yeah. So I'ma get the cousin poet up, cause I deserve to celebrate for all the shit I done. You see me rollin' swishes, yeah, I'm coolin' with my youngins. You see me rollin' swishes, yeah, I'm coolin' with my youngins. Yeah, I'm coolin' with my I'ma get the custom poet up. Cause I deserve to celebrate for all the shit I done. You see me rollin' swishes, yeah, I'm coolin' with my youngins. You see me rollin' swishes, yeah, I'm coolin' with my youngins. Yeah, I'm coolin' with my youngins.
That's one of the great things I love about being in a bear market is during this time is when you get to investigate all these new blockchain projects, and some of them have been around for quite some time. They just took some time to bubble up with the community, and Saya Coin is a perfect example of what that could be. You can always trust that Thrill Podcast will promote some of the best up and coming projects here. We do a very good job of checking every single project that we cover here on this podcast. And without a due diligence approach, I feel like a lot of stuff would just skate by. That's why I always say, buy Bitcoin, save the world. See you tomorrow.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Car Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr says likely will come true. It is up to you. Now go, do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto, and not Carr. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.